Hey, you're not sad and pathetic, man. Look at me.
Coming up on the Vanderpump Rules After Show. Had like almost spiritual ambitions for that trip.
We were really busy.
I had to go through like my sock drawer.
I'm trying to figure out why you feel that no one else can do the job as a nanny.
I like not having to worry when I know she is taken care of perfectly by my mom because I know how my mom does things.
Crying? Yeah, let it out.
That moment was so powerful for me.
We just said hi.
Is this a joke?
No, Graham is ours now.
Were you a little worried Graham was going to show you a suspicious amount of affection? Way cool.
The Vanderpump Rules After Show starts right now.
You two didn't go on the trip to Tahoe with Tom Sandoval.
We were really busy.
I had to go through like my sock drawer.
And if we weren't, we were going to make ourselves busy.
Listen, when did Tom Schwartz ever plan a trip in his life?
Never.
Never.
I'm not even sure Tom Schwartz thinks it's a good idea that he's trying to bring everyone together. I think he just is such a people pleaser that he doesn't want to leave anyone out.
As I get older, I'm more sentimental and had like almost spiritual ambitions for that trip. You know? I just was so looking forward to going up there, not getting the band back together, but just an initial...
I mean, the comparison to like, you know, you get a new cat and you already have a cat. You just got to kind of put them in the same room together.
I don't have a lot of free time as it is. I'm not going to take the free time. I've been on one trip in this entire year and I'm not going to take another trip to go hang out with the Toms.
I mean, obviously it makes sense they skipped the trip. I would have skipped the trip if you didn't go. There was no way I was going if you weren't going.
I would have definitely skipped the trip if I were either of them.
Yeah.
I understood why Schwartzy was a little confused. Because he was like, well, you share a house in LA, why couldn't you share a house in Tahoe?
It was already a no, but then the house of it all like really pushed it.
Like if I wanted to share a house with my ex, I'll stay home.
I do think if they came though, Sandoval was going to stay in a hotel. He wasn't going to stay in the same house if they did come. That was what I was told.
I legit went for the lake.
Yeah.
It was so worth it.
So nice.
It was stunning.
They missed out. I was bummed out that Ariana and Katie didn't go. I wish they would.
Honestly, I'm not bummed out that they didn't go because the place was so stunning that I would want them to go and experience it feeling like free.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that they couldn't though, maybe. No.
Well, I'm into energy, and clearly I think the energy would have thrown them off. And it's such something so zen and spiritual about that lake.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel uptight.
You know what? No. I think that they made the right decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And for the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trip was great. The trip was like a success, I think. And like, if someone told me I was going to go on a trip with Sandoval to Lake Tahoe and we were going to be staying in the same house, mm-hmm. I would literally have laughed. Been like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was excited for at least just being in proximity.
That's all I wanted. Tahoe is a very serene place for me. I love it up there. And I thought it'd be a nice, peaceful setting for everyone to maybe breathe in the same air.
The boulders there are too big to throw at people, so.
It's a dead joke. You're back.
Back.
How are you guys both feeling going into the trip?
I felt delicate, but optimistic. Optimistic. When we were in the airport waiting to board our flight, I think that was the first time anyone in that group had actually acknowledged Tom as a human being since the affair. And I think he was super touched by it.
Yeah.
I think he cried.
Get a little humanity from the gang, huh?
Jesus.
You haven't got much of that in the past 5 months, eh?
No, man.
Yeah. Crying? Let it out.
Are you getting emotional?
Yeah, dude, sorry.
What's making you emotional?
No, I just, like, that moment was so powerful for me. Like, it was so needed.
We just said, hi.
Literally.
Instead of like ignoring his presence when he's 5 feet in front of us, I was like, we're all gonna be staying in the same house in a few hours. We just say, hi.
Just the casualness that the way that Sheena like was like, hey, we're over here. Like it was something that I never thought I would ever hear again. You know, in such a casual way. Like like such a like, hey, what's up? Like, yeah, hey, we're over here. I was like, are you talking to me?
You had leprosy up until that moment.
Yeah.
Well, you were banished.
Yeah.
We acknowledged she existed.
Yeah, and that was enough for him to cry and call Lisa, I guess.
I just wasn't prepared for that. Like, I don't know. Something I didn't see coming. But yeah, it's something I'll never forget.
When he got on the plane, I gave him a look like he was that like kid on the school bus, like the nerdy kid that's like, you're not.
Oh, so you're a bully is what you're saying?
Oh no, it was just like, I didn't give him a hello yet. I'll just say him that much. That's not very nice. No, I just saw him get on. I was like, get in the back of the plane. Go sit by the toilet.
What was the first thing that went through your mind when you saw Graham?
I was like, oh shit, I gotta talk to Rachel like immediately. This is like really bad.
Wow. You joking? No. Is this a joke?
No, Graham is ours now.
The last time I saw Graham was when I visited Rachel in Arizona.
Were you a little worried that Graham was gonna show you a suspicious amount of affection? Very cool.
I remember seeing a picture online.
Yeah, we were
like,
right?
Whose dog is that? Like, who, like, yeah. Why do they have a random dog with them? And we're like, is that, it looked, could that like be him? But then he looked kind of different. Like, his coloring was, like, kind of different. He looked, like, smaller almost. Yeah. Like, we couldn't tell. We're like, no way. Like, how would that be? And then we were like, oh, did Lisa, because, you know, Lisa.
Did Lisa get a new dog?
Gets dogs all the time. Yeah, yeah. I thought, like, oh, did she get a new dog? And they're just, like, walking around or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that was crazy.
I'm a fan of the rebrand.
I'm thinking of renaming him Hippie.
Fresh
of a tribute.
Start, new energy.
Yeah.
The name Hippie is an homage to my late godfather George Michael's dog, Hippie. That was the dog that I would see growing up.
He's been responding from Hippie a little bit.
I'm having a moment. This is a lot to process.
I like the new energy. Same heart and soul, but just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's be honest, he was never a fucking graham cracker, was he? He's been Hippie.
Can I tell you something? I always thought that was the fucking stupidest name.
Right.
Graham cracker. I was right. Like, oh, God. I felt like I was looking at someone's Pinterest board.
I love it.
Like, dead.
I think it was really fucking cute, actually. Some people, you know, on the outside looking, you might think it was unnecessary or petty. But given the way everything has played out, you know, I don't think it was too late. After a traumatic experience like that, ending up in the pound, just like, let's just get a fresh start here, you know? A clean slate for Hippie.
When did you first learn that Raquel now wants to be known as Rachel?
At least a month prior, maybe like 2 months. I'd known for quite a while.
And she told you herself?
Oh, yeah.
Raquel Levy's back to birth name. Call me Rachel.
I knew about the Rachel thing. Wasn't my place to reveal that.
Yeah, it's not like it's headline news, or apparently it is.
Well, that is your name, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
that's your name. Your name. It wasn't like, yeah, groundbreaking.
I know when she was named Rachel, it was because there were other Rachels in her class. She always liked the name Raquel, and her mom had always wanted to change her name, and her mom's mom, grandma, whatever, wouldn't allow her to do so. So her mom allowed her to do that. And I think she maybe wanting to distance herself from, you know, what we had done. But I think just owning her name and being proud of it.
It's like taking her power back. What was the reasoning for it?
That we were weaponizing her legal name against her. And this was, yes, her way to take her power back and to become...
reinventing what? Yourself. It's coming out with the new. A... out with the old, in with the new. I'm a fucking Ash with the Phoenix.
No, I mean, people weren't weaponizing her name. It was just all in good fucking petty fun. I mean, you fucked up. Like, you've literally conditioned us to call you Raquel for a many year. That would be like me being like, everyone must call me Lauren now. Well, and then me being like, and you're calling me Lala. It's like weaponizing. That's not who I am anymore. It's like, no, these people have known you as that name for many years.
Raquel just rolls off the tongue easier. So Raquel she is.
I mean, I'm not saying either.
Shorts, you opened up about an insecurity in Tahoe.
It's weird because it's like I feel incapable. Not incapable of love, but incapable of being in whatever a traditional relationship is. But at the same time, I don't want to be single.
I don't want to be single in 40. Oh, I kind of want to cry for it.
It's like, somehow feels like sad or pathetic, but this happens. I've seen it play out many times. I just never thought it would be me, you know? Kind of feel like a statistic.
Hey, you're not sad and pathetic, man. Look at me. Got going on here.
No, it just doesn't have a great ring to it. I feel like it's a red flag. But I think you get...
Not in L.A.
Not in L.A. No. Oh, my God. Most of my friends are 40 and single. Happy and thriving and successful. But I just never thought it would be me, I guess, you know? I don't know. I guess in that moment, it felt good. I guess it was a little cathartic. I think I was just bitter about my current living situation. Just such a Debbie Downer. Listen, it's not that bad of an apartment. It's fine. It's just
I like
it. It's fine. It's just that it's literally the same amount as my mortgage. And I'm not building equity. It's not sexy. It screams bachelor. Screams a dude who just got her divorce. I guess that's doing.
It screams to me like the first apartment after somebody moves out of the dorm.
That's funny. No, but it's like
you have the plants.
Only friends.
Yeah. The thing is, like, obviously I have the means. Like, I have friends who do interior design for a modest price. I could make that place look really nice. But it's like, I don't want to get cozy here.
Yeah.
And Sandoval, you released some demons about Lala and James.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Scumbag and cheaters! Worm with a mustache! James Kennedy! Lala!
I think it was the way they were on the reunion. Like two like barking dogs, you know, that just won't stop barking.
I want to thank everybody for being-
Pull yourself together, man.
James!
I know I am taking accountability.
Go.
You are not.
You're a worm with a mustache.
Like, I think I literally said at one point on the reunion, like, can somebody get him a bark collar? Like, they'd be like, Tom, what'd you have for breakfast today? Well, I had, like, oh, God.
It was entertaining, but unfortunately.
Probably not for him.
No. Sorry. Listen, I got it too. I was just like this.
Can you guys tell me about some of the setbacks you had to deal with over the summer for the sandwich shop?
Everything just takes time. The health department is just, they're on their own time, calendar, everything. And it's just, and these are things that we kind of knew, but you can't really fully understand until like you're in it. Mm-hmm. And that they give you a list of things you got to fix, and then they come back, and then there's other things you got to fix, and it just becomes like splitting hairs.
From the second door that goes out to the new patio, they'll have to do like a little tiny ramp so it's ADA compliant.
Yeah.
And there's apparently other violations in the building too.
Jesus.
We really wanted to open by the end of this month, but there's just so much logistical red tape that the city keeps throwing at us. And like, I would ask, who do I have to blow at City Hall to grease the rails a little bit? But it's West Hollywood. They're all gay.
When we were looking at locations, we were like, it would be so great to get a second generation space, because that would mean it's not us turning a retail space into a restaurant. When this location came available, not only did it have the cute little like outdoor seating patio that we wanted in a whatever place we could find, we were like, that would be so cute. So not only did it have that, but it was already an operating restaurant.
Yeah, fully equipped.
Fully equipped, like fully operating, fully approved everything, brand new stuff that had already been approved by, you know, health department.
Just a year prior.
So that's why we were like, great. It'll be such an easy thing, because they'll inspect it and they'll be like, oh, we already signed off on all this stuff. So maybe there's, a couple things, but it's all stuff that's already been signed off on by them. So then when they came in and they said something about the flooring, we're like, this is the restaurant approved flooring that you already said was okay, or there is a sink in the wrong place.
Oh yeah, trying to say that was new, that we put it in there. Like, we have not literally brought anything that's in the kitchen, we didn't touch.
Didn't touch
like
it
it's been there. And these are things that like months have passed that we're just telling. So it's like,
when can you come back and look at it again? And it's like,
but again, like, are you gonna come back and tell us that, oh, now there's this? Like, every time like we have a new inspection, we're just hoping that it's just gonna be signed off, but now there's something else. So if it was up to us, we would have been open. Like, none of these things are in our hands.
it's like we're at the mercy of other people. Mm-hmm. All we're waiting for is health, and that's the main thing that we need.
Do you have an estimated opening date at this point?
No. We're waiting on them to come back again.
Once we have that, then we can actually, then there'll be, you know, and if that could happen, we were hoping it was going to happen, like, this week.
Because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Do I have a text? No.
Here we sit.
Sandoval, you end up talking to James one-on-one at the bar in Tahoe.
I think that it was a good step in the right direction with James and I. I think it went well.
Dying. You don't think if you were smart enough, you could have ended things with Ariana and then actually made things work out with Raquel without things blowing up the way they did?
It's so easy for people to say that.
If you really wanted to, you walk out the door. It's not going well with Tom. Like, you know, I'm trying to be mature and I'm trying to show ways on how I've grown up and how I can move on from things and move forward. He is just, you know, winding the fucking fishing rod back in time.
I never, and nor did she, mean to, like, hurt anybody. What happened with Raquel and I was not something I did to hurt anybody. It was something I just don't even know how the hell, like, happened.
You're saying, yeah, you're trying to make it a point, make it clear that it wasn't done out of spite.
No.
It wasn't done to hurt Ariana, you're saying?
No,
yeah.
Of course
not. I know this. I'm just,
yeah, no, like...
It wasn't done in spite of, or, like, a... vengeful.
I know he looks up to me, and I appreciate that. He did.
That's tense.
And I know, like, I inspired him in a lot of ways back in the day.
We get somewhere in our conversation, and right when we're on the cliff together, he has to go and, like, just jump off. I mean, it just comes down to not being able to, like, man up and, like, leave the relationship. If that's really what you wanted, honestly, because he has to say the last word and say something.
I can't obviously take back what I've done, and I have to accept what I did and just basically embrace it and be like, yo, don't ever do that again, you idiot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But what? Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It blows my mind. Then it makes me angry because I feel like he's diminishing my intelligence. Dude, like, I'm so much smarter than you. Like, you're so stupid, dude. Like,
and stronger.
Right.
And
right.
Faster.
Faster, for sure. I could do more push-ups, lots of stuff. I could do better than Sandoval, you know?
Sheena, you and Brock were having some conflicts around hiring a nanny.
Yeah, I knew how important it was to him. And we try to be a couple where we compromise. You know, he wants things one way, I want things another way. Let's meet in the middle. I knew he really wanted to bring outside help to let my mom be the grandma and not the grandma and the nanny and this and that. And she wears a lot of hats. We wanted to try and figure out a way where it's maybe more on the weekends Summer goes and spends time with her grandparents. And it's not an everyday thing, because as much as I love my mom and I think she has helped me to be the woman and now mom who I am, she does come with a lot of opinions. And it can do a number on my confidence at times where I'm like, oh, I am doing this wrong because my mom said it should have been this way. I should have done it that way. And now I'm doing it wrong. And then I question everything. And so Brock wanted my mom to step away a little so that I could regain that confidence on my own and not have my mom there saying she should eat this, she shouldn't, or she shouldn't, whatever it is.
I don't understand what you're trying to fight with me over.
I'm trying to figure out why you feel that no one else can do the job as a nanny.
There is no reason.
There is a reason. It's because you're paranoid from your mom. You're paranoid that your mom doesn't make you good enough, and you go down that rabbit hole. So your mom double downs and reminds you that you're not good enough on the parent, and it makes you not want to have that belief in anybody else.
This doesn't make sense. And also, it's like weird that we're arguing in a store.
I think because I have been so fortunate and blessed to have my mom around full time to help whenever we need her since literally the day Summer was born, I became dependent on how my mom does things, and just knowing that if Brock and I have to go on a work trip, if we have an event at night, I know her bath is gonna be done the right way, her bedtime routine's not gonna be messed up, and I think also with my OCD, I just like things routine in that sense, and I like not having to worry when I know she is taken care of perfectly by my mom because I know how my mom does things. I didn't really know how to make that transition because I also do have trust issues, and then bringing someone new into my home was something I worried about, and I just think my OCD did a number on me this year. I've had OCD my whole life, but then throwing a baby on top of it and postpartum OCD is just like a whole other level. And then the intrusive thoughts aren't just about myself or my husband or my family or things in life. It's now about my kid and something happening to her. It's not completely debilitating, but in my mind, sometimes it is.
I'm not just gonna leave her with anyone.
We're not just gonna leave her with anyone.
I know what I'm saying. This is a really big deal for me to bring in someone else to help. That's why I said, let's start with Tori.
Right.
Because I feel comfortable with that, please.
By spending more time alone with Summer, I took her to Disneyland by myself and just doing all of these things through exposure therapy, I started to feel more confident in my decisions as a mom. And when I am alone with her, I'm like, no one can tell me I'm doing something wrong. Even if I am, it's like, you know what? I think this is the best decision and I have to be confident in that.